La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
It is hour number three of the Sports Hangover. So we're not going to be able to take it live, but we will let you know what it is that David Griffin has to say. No doubt we're waiting for an update on Zion Williamson. Pels have wrapped up practice. We'll see what he has to say, okay? In the meantime, Gerard will join us again from FEMA. He's been a frequent guest on the show here. Do you want your own time slot, sir? We need to give you like a nickname or something
no, that's
like that.
Okay,
no,
Gus,
you sure? I mean, because I said
yeah,
last time
fine.
When we talked, it's never a good thing when FEMA's on. I mean, it is, but it's not, right, Gerard?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you know, I was just at the Melico Sisters Hardware and Supplies in Cutoff. We have a mitigation expert there giving people advice on how to build back better and stronger. But he's also hearing stories, and this is just, you know, a woman had a guy come up to her house and said, tell me how much money you're getting from FEMA, and I'll fix up your house for that amount. And she ran away. She drove him away from her property because she knew that that is not how contractors, normal contractors, do business. So, you know, a real contractor will give you a bid for what they can do for you, and you shouldn't tell people what your insurance settlement is or what your FEMA settlement is. I just thought I'd tell you that story because it's just a good reminder to all of us that people out there can try to take advantage of all of us, and we want to, you know, have our guard up.
It's interesting you bring that up because, there's in your field of work, obviously, you see the great part of humanity. You see people helping out. You see people going out their way. And look, I mean, the agency that you work for, it's disaster related. So,
right,
it's people that are in need and are
exactly
uncomfortable and are thrown in an adverse situation. The fact that you have the darker side of humanity that people like to pray because of the almighty dollar, it is sickening. But we've had police on. We've had different people say, you don't know these contractors from Adam. You want your house put back together. You're being told anywhere between, you know, 7 to 10 months by a lot of people. I have a cousin that lives over in one of the river parishes. She's going to be at her house for 10 months. And I guarantee you she'd rather be in her house sooner than 10 months. So you might have somebody show up and be like, I can do it in 3 months. I can start on it now. Give me the cash. That's probably not the best thing to do.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, I don't want to. We just got to tell the truth, right, and say that there are these people out there and just say, be strong against them because they're going to steal your money. So I just wanted to, you know, on the other hand, now don't run off everyone from your property because a legitimate FEMA inspector might be showing up, so. You know, keep your guard up, but we also don't want to, suspect everyone. And so that's another message I just wanted to share because we don't want, FEMA contracts with inspectors to look at properties, and they're just trying to do their job. So that's another thing to just find that middle spot. Be suspicious to a certain degree, but not every. You know, there's people there to help. FEMA contracts are here to help. FEMA's here to help. So.
Mm-hmm. I know when you came on last week, you gave us a couple of places that are still, available for people to go check out, get info, numbers, things of that nature. You want to go over that again real quick?
Well, yeah, and the one I just visited, the one way, you know, the furthest south is the one in and it's a go past the customer service center on Highway 3235. But one of our largest and busiest is in Huma. At the Civic Center there. And we have one in Luling. Yeah, they're all scattered around the parishes. Talk to your local government. They should know where the latest DRC is, if we call them our disaster recovery center. Or you can just go online and, even on your phone, look up the DRC locator, and that will help you find the nearest disaster recovery center. And then you can talk to a trusted FEMA expert on how FEMA might be able to help you.
Sounds good, man. Appreciate it as always, Gerard, when you give us some time and give us the very latest info, especially stories like that. Just kind of remind us that they're, probably don't want me showing up in my pickup truck saying I can do it, especially if you've ever seen me with power tools, Gerard. You do not want me doing anything to your house.
Okay.
I can assure you. Believe me.
All right. I will. Okay.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Yep, for sure. I'm not even remotely joking. My wife got me one of those, power drill combo things for Christmas, like two Christmases ago. It's still in the box. Part of it's because I haven't had the need or the use just yet. And I've gotten better at it, But I'm definitely not Tim Allen in any of those shows that he was a tool man, an outdoorsman, or anything of that nature. All right, so we are awaiting David Griffin to talk to the media. He's talking to coaches, and he's talking to other members of the organization after practice. He has yet to speak, and we're waiting and thinking it's going to be about Zion Williamson. Willie Green, the head coach, yesterday was asked about Zion, the latest, and Willie had this to say.
He's doing good. He was here today getting his work in, getting his cardio. We don't have an official update as of right now, but when we do, Griffa, let you guys know where we are with Z. But he was here, good spirits, getting his work in, and we just want him to continue to progress.
So that is what he said yesterday, and also the fact that this isn't easy on Zion as well.
It is brutal. It's what you do for a living. It's what you love and you get joy out of. And so when you can't do it, and not on top of that, but your teammate, you're hearing your teammates playing and you want to be a part of it. It's difficult to go through that, but it's a part of it, and it's light at the end of the tunnel right now, and hopefully we can get him back soon.
All right, David Griffin is now speaking to the media, and we do have an update on Zion Williamson. And it's kind of what the gut kind of said. David Griffin saying Zion Williamson did undergo imaging yesterday. Remember Willie Green on Monday said that they weren't going to let him start running and any of that stuff until, of course, they see what happens in those images. Doctors were happy about what they saw. Griffin then said there's still no timeline, though, for his return. Zion will be checked by doctors in another 2 weeks. So bare minimum, he's going to be checked by 2 weeks. Now, again, I'm taking that as, because remember Willie Green said until doctors clear him from that, he's not running. I don't know if that means that he's not running. Just posted, David Griffin just said Zion Williamson will begin running, but there is no timetable for his return. So we do know that at least, I know it sounds so, basic here, but at least he will start running and be allowed to run, and then I guess they're going to see. Now it's 2 to 2.5 weeks. 2 to 2.5 weeks from now could be the, return to the court. But he's been cleared to run. Further imaging, rather, will be done 2 to 2.5 weeks. So kind of what I thought, quite honestly. It's what I told you. Go get in shape. Run. We'll see you in November. Didn't I say that? Now, this might be a different way of saying it, and they're looking at the imaging. But if they're happy with what they saw and he's running, why can't he play? But I told you at the beginning of the show, if I'm me, based on the fact he hasn't run for months in the summer, you have 2 weeks left in October. I told you, I'm them. I'll see you in November. Gus, what are you talking about? Next Thursday is the 21st. The following Thursday is the 28th. The last day of the month is Sunday, October 31st. Okay? That's the Knicks game at home. I say play him Tuesday, November 2nd at Phoenix. Matter of fact, Jordan, I'm going to do this. Sticky note. I'm going November 2nd at Phoenix, the first of a four-game road trip. Phoenix, Sacramento, Golden State, and Dallas. I'm going to say that is Zion's first game. There it is. Jordan, here we go. There's my sticky, and I'm putting it right above my monitor. That would be my guess. That's what I would do. I said that at the beginning of the show. I would just completely be like, you know what? Go run. Go get in shape. Go practice. Make sure you're healthy. And then we'll see you in November. I actually don't mind this news, to be honest with you. He couldn't have been ready. He hasn't run. They literally just cleared him to run. You go out there right now and you try to play an NBA game, I think you risk further injury to something else. That's just me. You could completely, you know, dismiss me. But again, two weeks from today is October 28th. 2.5 weeks, guess what? Is the Knicks game, November 2nd. I'm sorry, Phoenix. So that would be my guess. 800-998-1003. What do you think about that? Does it change your sort of feeling about it or not, or kind of what you expected? This is what I sort of expected this was going to be, and it just makes sense. If he's just starting to get cleared to run, it just makes sense. First, a four-game road trip, that would be when I think you put him back. Let him practice. Let him get comfortable. See how healthy it is. Again, David Griffin just saying that the imaging yesterday, doctors were happy, looked good, and that in 2 to 2.5 weeks, they will get another set of images to see where he's at then and then clear him to play, but that he has been cleared to start running. I'm just saying, if you're just running now, then I think this makes a ton of sense. Or not really even a ton of sense, just kind of more of, okay, well, kind of expected from that perspective. So again, those first 10 games, since obviously now 2 to 2.5 weeks, you're not going to see him. He is not going to be ready for the season opener against Philly, Chicago, Minnesota, that's on the road. Wednesday, October 27th versus Atlanta. Let's see if that falls into the... Nope, that's not 2 weeks away. 2 weeks away is the 28th. That would be Thursday. So the next game is Friday, October 29th against Sacramento. There is a Saturday, October 30th game against New York. Those games are at home. Or do you just wait until Tuesday, November 2nd? Phoenix, Sacramento, Golden State, Dallas. The four-game road swing. That's what I would do. That's just me. By the way, that game against Phoenix is on TNT. I'm telling you, November 2nd, I think, is Zion's return to the court. My opinion. Quick break. We come back. Mr. Lee Sterling, we'll chat with him. It's the Sports Hangover, and your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Teaming up to create a healthier community, Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodaux Regional Medical Center present Health Watch.
Physical therapy for health issues or falling and injury can be very beneficial and help restore your physical function. One form of physical therapy that makes exercise and treatment less painful and as a result more successful, leading to an improved quality of life, is aquatic therapy.
Aquatic therapy takes place in the water under the supervision of a trained therapy expert and uses water resistance instead of weights. People of all ages, including those with special needs and physical limitations, can benefit from aquatic therapy. It can even be used if someone does not know how to swim.
Thibodaux Regional is proud to offer cutting-edge aquatic therapy equipment. The HydroWorks therapy pool is designed to be very versatile so that a wide variety of patients with certain health conditions can be treated, such as paralysis, stroke rehabilitation, arthritis therapy and relief, post-surgical rehab, and so much more. What makes the HydroWorks therapy pool effective is its innovative use of technology to promote healing. One key element is the underwater treadmill. Using an underwater treadmill monitored by video cameras promotes proper gait and encourages correct biomechanics while walking or running underwater. Another key component is the movable floor. For patients with mobility issues, the HydroWorks therapy pool has a movable floor that makes it easy for children, older adults, or anyone with orthopedic conditions to get in and out of the pool without using steps or ladders.
Aquatic therapy and athletics go hand in hand. Let me show you how our HydroWorks therapy pool can help keep athletes safely in the game. Pool workouts following an athletic injury have been clinically proven to be an important part of the recovery process. Completing HydroWorks therapy workouts after an athletic injury can have the following benefits: increase mobility and strength, maintain fitness levels, decrease swelling, improve the balance and stability, and pain relief. Buoyancy allows for more range of motion and can increase joint flexibility. The warm water also helps improve circulation, relax muscles, and improve healing.
If you have questions about aquatic therapy, please call the Outpatient Rehabilitation Center at 985-493-4782.
Aquatic therapy and athletics go hand in hand. Pool workouts following an athletic injury have been clinically proven to be an important part of the recovery process.
If you have questions about aquatic therapy, please call the Outpatient Rehabilitation Center at 985-493-4782.
985-493-4502 or www.thibodaux.com.
Health Watch is a presentation of Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodaux Regional Medical Center. For more information on the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional, call 985-493-4502 or visit thibodaux.com.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you.
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
It is an absolute pleasure when we welcome in Mr. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, at Paramount Sports on Twitter, ParamountSports.com. And on Thursdays, right around this time, we talk with Mr. Lee Sterling. How are you, Lee?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Doing well. Were you surprised that A&M pulled out that win last week?
Well, I said before the year I thought that was a game they were going to lose. I just didn't think it was going to be with a backup quarterback. So, did not have that game, did not pick that game, but I have to say I'm pleasantly surprised and happy.
Is Cincy for real?
As in
playoff team, Cincinnati, the Bearcats.
Absolutely. Who's going to beat them? I mean,
true.
In past years, Central Florida would have a good shot, but I mean, they're a 21-point underdog without Taylor. I mean, without Dylan Gabriel. I mean, they're nothing. I mean, you watch their talent level. No team has lost more talent in the last 3 years. Their young freshman quarterback is not very good, and they don't have a running back or a receiver that scares you.
Along those lines, Lee, Iowa, number two team in the country behind Georgia, Are they a legit serious contender for the national championship?
No. No. They were lucky to beat Penn State.
Okay.
I mean, you know, without Penn State losing their quarterback, they lose that game. I mean, it did make some adjustments, and I think it would have been closer than what it was at one point, but Penn State just didn't have a backup quarterback. Their quarterback backup left and went to Kentucky. So, you know, they're a nice team. Most years they're ranked 8th or 10th. They're not the second or third best team in the country. No way. I think Cincinnati would take down Iowa.
I was going to say, the reason I did this exercise with you is because we still have a lot of season to go. I know it sort of feels like we're getting closer, but Lee, we still have 6 games to go for a lot of these schools and conference championship games and such.
Right.
And I guess the reason I did this exercise with you is this. I do think Georgia is 1 or 2. I mean, I do think they're at a different level defensively.
Right.
And I still think there's Bama. Because, as you mentioned, look, I'm not buying Oklahoma. I know they're 6-0. No. I'm not buying them. You said you're not buying Iowa. So that leaves Georgia, Cincinnati, that's probably not going to lose, and Alabama. I mean,
right?
So that's why I did this deductive reasoning. Who's that 4th team you think might be there at the end?
That's the $64,000 question.
Is it Michigan? They're undefeated. I guess they got to play Ohio State.
Yeah, I think Ohio State's the team that's probably going to sneak back in. Got to be honest with you. I mean, it's crazy that you have 3 undefeated teams, Michigan State, Michigan, and Iowa. And no one expected any of those teams to be undefeated, but I think Ohio State's the best of them four teams.
All right, Lee Sterling, let's move forward. I just wanted to do that quick exercise because, again, you're kind of seeing it halfway point in the college football
season. Oh, and here's another thing.
Sure.
Gus, a lot of people will try to figure it out now. I've seen it come down to the championship weekend. 2 of the top 4 teams lose. And so as long as you're in the top 5 or 6, you're maybe in the top 8, you're fine right now.
Oh, well, again, I like drama, and I do like at least the pretense that it could be different teams, but I do think at the end of the day, I think Bama's going to be a ticked-off team. All right, Ole Miss and Tennessee. The Lane Train, 52-51, they beat Arkansas, man. I love the Razorbacks going for 2. Tennessee is kind of one of those, no one's kind of respecting sort of schools. They're 14.5-point underdogs.
Let me pose a question to you.
Okay.
If Ed Orgeron gets fired, would you be happy with Lane Kiffin as your head coach?
I think a lot of people would love Lane Kiffin in Baton Rouge. I think his attitude, his demeanor and personality, I think fits the fan base. I would. Me personally,
okay.
I'd do it. You?
I agree. Well, yeah, and if I'm Miami, here's what's interesting this weekend. So if, let's say LSU loses, and the Lane Train wins or continues his offense to look good, I would make a move if I'm LSU or Miami this weekend. Fire coach and start talking. And of course, Lane Kiffin will say he hasn't spoken to anyone, and he may not. But trust me, his agent will. So I think it took a while for UT head coach Josh Heupel to get them running at supersonic speed like they did at UCF. They got it going right now. They took the foot off the gas in the second half against South Carolina. And they still have scored 107 points in 2 weeks. So the Ole Miss defense, they're better than last year, but they have no depth. I mean, the last 2 weeks they're kind of reverting to last year, almost 100 points given up to Bama and Arkansas. Hogs ran for 350 and passed for 325 on them. Yikes. This could be another classic. I like Tennessee here, 56-50.
Wow, that's a lot. Look, I think also back to Kiffin, what he's done with, you know, Matt Corral kind of shows you can develop QBs. And, you know, Arch Manning's that prize QB in one of those classes coming up here in the next 2 years. that offense, because Corral hasn't turned the ball over. I mean, yeah. So, all right, Georgia, Kentucky, 23.5 points here. Kentucky's D against Georgia. I feel like that's a lot of points.
I do, but it, you know, might be a trap. You know, look at last week. You know, Georgia's a big favorite. Shut down Auburn. Kentucky's getting the most out of their offense built around running back Chris Rodriguez, but the Bulldog defense has held 5 of 6 opponents under 100 rushing yards. You know, usually you see like 125, 150, and like that's a good defensive day. They don't feel good unless they held someone under 100. They held a pretty good Auburn rushing attack to 46 last week here. I don't think it matters who plays quarterback here, and I think Mark Stoops is one of those guys that might be talking to LSU or Miami after this weekend here. And I think someone might match up with Georgia down the road, Kentucky doesn't. They're also without two of their top three defensive linemen. Georgia big, 37-7.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Next up, Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. Each and every Thursday we chat. Florida and LSU. It's been a rough week. I came on the air Monday and said, look, if you've made the decision you're not keeping him, I don't know why keep him. It's going to make it worse. This game is an 11-point underdog to the Gators in Baton Rouge. Lee, if the Gators get going, the Bluebirds, right? The Blue Tigers going to be going out. Are we going to hear more booing than cheering Saturday?
If LSU starts strong, they'll be cheering. If they start slow, it's going to get ugly. And the only thing that might, you know, help Florida big time here is the game starts early. So the crowd isn't going to be pumped. They only probably only have two or three cocktails into them as opposed to a night game where they have eight or ten. And the only real option for LSU in this game is to go with ground and pound. But last week they ran 35 times for 147 yards, and they still lost by three touchdowns to Kentucky. I thought the Florida should have pounded Kentucky, but the game plan, the execution wasn't good. I think Florida, this is their circle game. You know, they lost last year as a 23-point dog, the favorite, I'm sorry, to LSU, 37-34, and that was the shoe game. Mm-hmm. I think Florida's going to come ready to play here, and I think they lay one on LSU, 38-17.
Lee, to the NFL we go. Cleveland and Arizona, it's an interesting one. I feel this week, for some reason, a national talking point on the ESPN shows, and Skip and Shannon on FS1, it's about Baker Mayfield. And I get it, because the contract time is coming up. Do you buy? Do you not buy? Do you trust? Do you not trust? Kyler Murray and the Cardinals are undefeated. Mm-hmm. This is a big game for Baker Mayfield, isn't it?
It is, and it may not be up to him. Last week he was fine. He was good. But the play calling, you know, when you're you know, up by 1 point, and there's a couple minutes to go in the game, two and a half minutes. You got to play aggressively. I mean, this is not the 1970s or 1980s anymore. You've got to try to score, at least be aggressive and get first downs. And I'm not talking about, you know, runs in the middle or short passes less than 5 yards. So the coaching staff admitted they made a mistake here. Now they've got some major injuries in the back on defense. They could be down four of the top five cornerbacks. And Arizona's just too strong there. I mean, even if you blitz Arizona, their running backs step up and they blast you. That's one of the reasons they went with bigger backs in the backfield. And they're better on the road, 10-3-2 against the spread as a road underdog. I like Arizona. The Dolphins, 72. The 72 Dolphins are going to have to at least wait another week to pop that champagne. I like the Cardinals, 28-20.
All right, tonight, sir, Thursday night football, Philly hosting Tampa Bay. 7-point favorite are the Buccaneers. I said this earlier in the show for no other reason other than I think odds at some point Father Time's got to hit Tom Brady. They have a lot of injuries. I'm actually picking the Eagles tonight. I'm not even going with the points here. I just something tells me Eagles. Am I wrong? They're 7-point
dogs. I love the play. Love the play. If I'm Philadelphia, what I do is I line Jalen Hurts up in the shotgun and say either pass or run every single play. Mm-hmm. You can't waste your time just trying to run the football. Let them scramble around and make plays. Tampa Bay is without three of their starting four defensive backs here. And, you know, maybe Tom Brady, you know, maybe he's got something going on and, you know, with his hand, and maybe he's not 100%. So maybe this is the one game that they're off. I mean, the Eagles were spotted 3 points week one against the 49ers. Couldn't get it done in the red zone. I mean, they were there. That was the game for the taking. Then against Kansas City, they were getting 7. Kansas City played their best game, and they didn't cover there. I think third time's a charm here. I think Philadelphia outright, 31-28.
Mm. I can't wait to see some of the other plays and picks, not only games of the week, but I personally can't wait to see that Chargers-Ravens game. Those two quarterbacks, those teams will be fun. If I want to get all that stuff, man, how can I do so?
You can get that game or the A&M-Missouri game. That should be a great game, too. Just call 800-400-9741. We'll give you those games for free. Had another winning week last week. You want to hop on board. It's not October. Paramount Sports, we call it Locktober. 3 weeks of my phone service, just $247. Coupon code SAVE 200. Hockey started a couple days ago. Besides football being maybe number one in the country, we're number one in hockey last year. The average $100 to $500 better, made over $22,000 on our hockey selection. So come on board there. You can get a, how about this combo pack, hockey and basketball. People forget basketball. Hockey started a couple days ago. Basketball starts on Tuesday night. Both sports, normally $2,500. Use coupon code SAVE1000, just $1,500 for both sports through the Stanley Cup Final in June 2022 and the NBA Finals in June 2022. Comes out to about $1.20 a selection, ParamountSports.com.
As always, man, appreciate the time on Thursdays. We'll talk again next weekend.
Thanks, Gus.
Yep, for sure. Quick break. We come back. Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com. We'll talk a little bit more about college football and really where are we going to be here in six, 7 more weeks. We'll do that next on ESPN New Orleans.
Take a dance. You're old enough to dance.
This Black and Gold Report is brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadeville. As the Saints sit at 3-2, it's good to look at why the team has more wins than losses. One is the play of rookie linebacker Pete Werner. In his debut, just 2 tackles against New England, then 10 against the Giants, and 13, 8 of them solo at Washington this past weekend. Head coach Sean Payton.
He's doing good. He's smart. He's got good instincts. There's things that come up in a game that maybe that he hadn't seen as much of at the college game, but he's one of those guys that functionally can correct a mistake and then not let it repeat. It's good to see his progress.
Linebacker Demario Davis on Werner's play so far.
I think Pete's done a tremendous job for us. He's shown that he's smart, he's athletic, very instinctual, he's downhill physical in the run game, can guard out in space, can make open field tackles, a high motor guy. He's everything that you want in a linebacker. And it's shown it, and to be his first year on the field has played with an exceptional way. It bodes well for him, and it means a lot for our defense. And so for him to come in and play at that level, we need that down the stretch for that to continue.
Werner no doubt will add depth as Quan Alexander returns to the roster as well. For more on the Black and Gold, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans. This Black and Gold Report has been brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadeville.
Napa know-how.
Rogers Parts, your local distributor of high-quality Napa Auto Parts, Marine, and Industrial Supplies, has what you need to keep your vehicle rolling safely down the road. Whether it's repair or maintenance, Napa has the parts to help you make your vacation destination. Getting ready for that big fishing trip, they have quality marine parts to help keep your boat going. So stop by one of Rogers Parts' 5 locations, Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadeville, and talk with one of their ASE parts specialists. Rogers Parts, they've got the Napa know-how.
Greg LeBlanc Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community. With a fresh, new inventory arriving daily and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles. If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com. GregLeBlancToyota.com. We are Homa Strong.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Chip Patterson, CBS Sports, joins us on Thursdays to talk a little college football at Chip_Patterson. Chip, how are you this afternoon, sir?
Doing fantastic, man. We had a good one this past weekend, and for everyone who looks at this slate and says it won't deliver, that's right when college football nips up and proves you wrong. So excited to dig into it.
You did a long night on Saturday for you as well. When you look at it, man, that game had everything. I really thought Bama was going to win, and quite honestly, the only stop they had was the one that decided the game for A&M.
I've been so programmed to just think that Alabama's going to figure out a way to pull it off. I thought the kick was going to miss. It was going to go to overtime, and Alabama was going to figure out a way to win there. But, you know, it comes down, I think, to where this Alabama team is
and what kind of standard we hold it to. Because if we continue to hold it to the standard of the team that won with such incredible efficiency and dominance a year ago, or many of the other national championship teams, then, especially at this point in the season, then you're ultimately setting yourself up for disappointment. I thought that this was going to be, you know, yet another Nick Saban against a former assistant, a Texas A&M team that doesn't have an offense, and, hey, Alabama had really committed to running the ball with Brian Robinson. This is, they were just going to figure out a way, no way Texas A&M scores. So I need to credit Jimbo Fisher for believing in his young quarterback, Zach Calzada, for putting together a game plan that set him up for the best performance of his college career.
Right.
And now, you know, Alabama has to come back and look at, you know, where it's at. It does not seem to me, based on some of the decisions that were made in that game, that there is a whole lot of confidence in this group being able to go out and make a play on offense. You know, and I think that is the one thing that was really stark to me, is that it didn't seem as though Bryce Young and the rest of that Crimson Tide offense were holding themselves in a position where you had confidence that on a 4th and 5, they were going to be able to come up with a play. They used to have an easy button named Devonta Smith. They used to have an easy button named Najee Harris or Jalen Waddle. And they just don't have that easy button right now. And I think that that is really what's holding Alabama back from being the version of itself that I think many people imagined coming into the season.
Speaking with Chip Patterson from CBS Sports, you know, one of the things that's interesting when you look at it, they just dropped the 5. And I just kind of went over an exercise with Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports just before you, and I said, look, all right, so buy or not buy, right, selling here. Georgia's won. I think we all buy here. Iowa, they get that win, exciting fashion. How are you buying them in terms of a national title contender?
Not buying as a national title contender, because winning a national championship in the college football playoff era requires, if not an explosive offense, at least one that is performing at a more efficient level than Iowa. Iowa has a top 2 defense in the country, like Iowa, Georgia, and then I think you take a big drop down to whoever you think is going to be number 3, but its offense, I think, is outside of the top 60. And I say that 60 reminding you that there's 130 FBS teams, a.k.a. very middling, and my outside of the top 60 might be friendly. So can Iowa win a Big Ten championship? Yes. I think that they are actually likely to make it to the Big Ten championship game and could end up with 0 losses on conference championship weekend. But winning a national championship requires something in the college football playoff era where a 1-game fluke won't be able to cut it. And so, no, I don't take Iowa as a national championship contender. But I'll throw this back at you, Gus. That doesn't mean that they are undeserving of number 2 at this point in the season.
Sure.
Because voters are not being asked to project the college football playoff, and voters are not being asked to try and set this up like a Las Vegas power rating. They're trying to do it in terms of their resume and their profile. And when you've got a 0 in the loss column and you've got wins against other teams that are considered among the best in the country, then that's going to allow you to hold on to a higher position than maybe a Vegas power rating or a Las Vegas national championship odds board is going to have.
And I ask you that because you look at the polls here. One has Oklahoma, one has Cincinnati at 3, and they swap. So of those two teams, I'm not buying Oklahoma, but I think I want to buy Cincy. You?
As a national championship contender?
Well, yeah. To be, I guess, in the Final Four is what I'm trying to get at. I guess my whole point I'm going to get to here, Chip, is Bama's still going to be in there. I mean, I still think they're going to be one of the 4, and especially when you look at the teams above them. So Cincinnati, Oklahoma, can they be one of the Final Four teams?
Yeah, Oklahoma can be one of the Final Four teams, and Cincinnati's going to need some help, and they're going to need to continue to win out the rest of the way. But I will say that I have looked at Alabama in those 2 big road situations.
Mm-hmm.
At Florida and at Texas A&M, and I don't think that Alabama's going to lose this week at Mississippi State, but if we see that offense sort of turtle up, because remember, against Florida, it was the slow start, or the fast start, but then they couldn't get first downs late in the game to help them win it. Florida claws back into it. If playing away from home is a problem for this Alabama offense at this point in the season, after a loss like that, then we've got to start to look at that as a reason why I would not pick Alabama to beat Georgia in the SEC championship game and why I don't think that Alabama is a cakewalk, write it in Sharpie to even represent the West Division, because there's another road game coming up at the end of the season at Auburn, and this Tigers team has been all over the place this year. Right, Who knows what could happen in that game. So that's why I think it's very important for Alabama's offense to start figuring out how to play winning football for 60 minutes away from home, because we have not seen that yet this season.
I just take a look at some of the games coming up here, the 11 a.m. kickoffs. Lots of interest, obviously, here in Baton Rouge and in New Orleans area. Florida and LSU, hasn't been a good week. Not when every single day it's who's the next head football coach for LSU. Is it going to get worse this week? Do you have the Gators? They're 11.5-point favorites in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, I wouldn't want any part of this game, because if it's close, I feel like it's probably more Florida's fault for playing down to an LSU team that's reeling. But if Florida does play down to LSU, I would not put it past the Tigers to come up with the haymaker just on the sheer idea that there's too much talent. But with all of the losses due to injury, with all of the, you know, speculation swirling, both in terms of, you know, coaches and players, I would not trust anything about this game. But, yeah, if you got to make me pick, I'll take the Gators.
When you look at one other game in the SEC that stands out to me, I guess just a little bit, Arkansas and Auburn. Arkansas, 4.5-point favorite. I like them going for two. I love that game. That was a fun college football game. Maybe not for defenses, but I think this is kind of a big game for the Hogs to kind of show, did they really truly take a step in the right direction, huh?
Without a doubt, but a big game for Auburn, too. These two teams have been through some, like, the ringer. Like, mm-hmm. This has been quite a start to the season for, like, two squads that are honestly right now battling to try and say that they are the second-best team in the SEC West, battling to try and be in a position where, and I know that Arkansas just lost to Ole Miss, but there's nothing about that game that says that Arkansas should feel like it is a second class to Ole Miss, and I'm really fascinated to see what we get out of it. I think the red herring here is the high scores. Mm-hmm. I see this game settling right back into a line of scrimmage battle game decided by, you know, who can run the ball better and more efficiently, and probably a little bit lower scoring than where the point total is, which would favor an underdog if you think that this is a field goal game. Massive, massive important game. And Gus, it is the a doubleheader on SEC on CBS. I will be a part of the halftime, pregame, halftime, and postgame show for this game, as well as the halftime of the next game, which I'm sure we're going to get to soon.
Yeah, the drums, they string low.
You knew it was coming.
And the trumpets, they go.
Number 11, Kentucky. Number 1, Georgia. The 2:30 game on CBS. But as Chip just said, he will be well busy by that time. Okay, 22.5-point favor of the Bulldogs. Does that seem like a lot of points, or does it just come down to this with Georgia moving forward? Can you score on them?
Yeah, it's without a doubt. There's a couple of things that are funny about this to me. Number 1, it really shows the difference between selling a game and picking a game, because here is one set of facts that are all true, delivered with the enthusiasm of selling the game. First place in the SEC East is on the line. Two of the last undefeated teams in the country, 6-0 Georgia, 4-0 in conference play, 6-0 Kentucky, 4-0 in conference play. They're going to square off. Who will win this incredible battle? Okay, now let's pick a game. Lay every one of those points with the Bulldogs, because the line is too little. The line is too little, Gus. Georgia's going to roll. And it's so funny because I'm hearing people nitpick. This is a stat that was brought up this week, and I don't think that but Georgia's downfield passes, a majority of them, have come when Georgia is leading by double digits, a.k.a. they have not had to throw the ball in any kind of tight situation this season.
Wow.
That is true, but guess what? They're not in close games. It doesn't matter if they can't throw the ball when they're down by double digits, because they're not going to be down by double digits, because you aren't scoring points. They're just going to lean on you, and eventually it's going to break. We saw it against Auburn. We might see it again against Kentucky. Lay them.
All right, so Kentucky's a pretty good rushing team. Can you run on Georgia?
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah, it's just like, absolutely not. Like Chris Rodriguez leads the SEC in rushing right now. He is the best running back statistically in the Southeastern Conference, and he is about to have a mouth full of 99. Jordan Davis is just going to collapse that pocket from the inside, and all of a sudden Will Levis is going to be in third and long, and that's not a place Will Levis wants to be against Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Is that D-line one of the biggest you've seen, the Bulldogs?
The whole defensive front, because then you've got N'Kobe Dean at linebacker. You know, they've got a couple, Nolan Smith, another guy who can come off the edge. But so Jordan Davis is a senior. A guy named Jalen Carter, who's a sophomore, is just
3-10.
Flashing and just taking leaps and bounds.
Uh-huh.
Wyatt is going to be another dude who's in the NFL. When we want to start talking about how you can beat Georgia and if you can beat Georgia when it comes time for the end of the season, because no one's going to beat Georgia until then, it's going to be having to test a secondary that was a little bit thin coming into the season and has taken a couple of injuries. But I just, like, you would maybe say Florida if Florida wasn't running it with Emory Jones and Anthony Richardson. Like, it's just the teams that are on Georgia's schedule do not have the combination of quarterback and wide receivers to really test them. Like, when you're picking Georgia apart and you're nitpicking, you're like, I mean, you know, if they go up against Ohio State, what's going to happen? And if we're at a point in the season where your response is, we got to see them against Ohio State to see their flaws, well, that's as close to a flawless football team as you're going to have.
The reason I bring that up is because three of the Saints' defensive ends are just defensive linemen, 265 in Davenport. You know, Cam Jordan is what, I think 287, 275, Peyton Turner. Some of the guys you just mentioned on Georgia, they're three Bills. They're three Bills.
Yeah.
Like, they're 6'6", 6'7", 6'3", but three Bills. Like, you just don't see teams anymore. D linemen have that kind of size and girth with that kind of athleticism. You just don't see it. In the NFL.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, they have an NFL deep. Like, we always do the, like, what if, you know, the Jags and Alabama played, what would happen? And everyone comes back and, like, the Jags would win by 20, all right? This is a stupid question. And you're probably right. But what Georgia has right now in college is an entire defense of players who would be playing on Sundays tomorrow if given the opportunity.
That's why I brought that up. That's literally why I brought up current New Orleans Saints defensive linemen compared to Georgia's defensive lineman, at least just size-wise. Chip Patterson, as always, appreciate it, man. Another long day for Saturday for Chip. Go check it out over at CBS Sports HQ. As always, man, appreciate the time you give us on Thursdays.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
For sure. At Chip _ Patterson. Quick break. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply, 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Go, go, Smex!
Mexican restaurant on Highway 1 in Raceland is open and ready to please you. They have daily lunch specials Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mouth-watering Mexican food daily with delicious specialty dishes like coconut shrimp tacos, Baja fish tacos. Plus try the trio burritos or the carne asada. Coco's Mexican has happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. Delivery service from waiters also available. They're located on Highway 1 in Raceland next to the post office. Coco's.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the major league.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
So earlier today, about 45 minutes ago, David Griffin giving the very latest on Zion Williamson. And here it is, the updates on Zion.
As you are all aware, Zion underwent imaging yesterday on his surgically repaired right foot. Dr. Richard Ferkel and Dr. Scott Montgomery, the surgeons who performed the original procedure, reviewed those images and were very encouraged with the healing evidence there. They're very optimistic he will recover from this, and they are clearing him to continue his progression. The next step for him now will be running and on-court individual work. Given the nature of bone healing, there is no fixed timeline for his return to game action, but the doctors are very encouraged by this last batch of images. As he continues along his return to play progression, the doctors will be using additional imaging, which will take place 2 to 2.5 weeks from now, as guides and landmarks for taking the next steps. It's everyone's goal that Zion return to play as soon as safely possible. Obviously, 2 to 2.5 weeks from now means he will not be on the floor for the first week of games. And when he is able to return safely, he will do that. And with that, I'll take any questions you have about anything non-Zion related, since I just used up all of my medical knowledge on Zion.
So the whole no fixed timeline?
No fixed timeline right now, other than 2 to 2.5 weeks from now, we'll get more imaging. But as he progresses, he's starting right now at one-on-one work on the court and running. And as he progresses through that, that won't be something that we'll be updating throughout, but the imaging will be important 2, 2.5 weeks from now.
So again, I'm not surprising. You know me. Whether this is because of the imaging and taking the approach of caution or not, you know me. What I said earlier in the week, you can't be in shape. Whatever. I said it probably for a different reason. But at the beginning of the show, I said, you know what? I'll see you in November. Take the rest of October, since you have not started running, and get in shape and work on your game. You haven't done it for 2 months. You haven't been able to for 2 months. So go do that, and we'll see you in November. Put it on a sticky note already. November 2nd at Phoenix, the first game of a 4-game road trip. That, to me, makes sense. Now, you do have 2 games at the end of the month that will be here at the Smoothie King Center. So that possibly, I mean, that's 2.5 weeks. But again, you just heard David Griffin. That's 2 to 2.5 weeks when they'll get imaging. He also said this.
Sure. Well, I mean, the 2 to 2.5 weeks is just a landmark in terms of what the imaging looks like. So certainly it could be longer than that. It's really up to what that looks like.
All right. So what we've come down to is the doctors that are looking at imaging and bone healing is going to determine when Zion plays. Could be longer, could be shorter. My guess is, again, if everything progresses and heals properly, say November 2nd at Phoenix on TNT. That would be me. David Griffin, back on Media Day, many people took what he said about Zion to mean that he would be ready for opening night today.
Well, truth be told, I never said opening night, but that's okay. I said for the regular season. But I do think that it's going to be something that, because of the bone healing aspect of things, it's hard. Like, every player is different. And nothing's gone wrong. There's been no setback. It's just, it takes long, you know, it takes a certain amount of time for guys to lay the bone that the doctors want to see. And this is where our timeline is.
So what's going to go into the team and him over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, throughout that process, we'll be heading towards that. And it may happen well before the 2.5 weeks that he does that. It's really just a function of how things progress.
So from now until that 2-week mark, I guess, what will he be allowed to do, you know, during practice, on court, whatever?
Right now, he's cleared to run and do one-on-none. And whatever they do next is just part of that process. But I don't have a set progression for you I can give you. So.
Was he able to do the one-on-none and the running today? Did he start that process today?
He was cleared last night for that.
So. All right, so there you go. I don't know what you're going to see in the meantime. Rest of the team, get ready. Got about 7-8 games without him. It's the Sports Hangover. Matt Moscone at the Further View next, right here on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.